For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, guys, good afternoon. How are you guys doing today? Ready for a little more action here? All right, well, welcome out to our afternoon breakout session, Simple Living for Teens. This is closely related to our theme. The theme is about the things to come, right? The end times, having an eternal perspective, and very closely associated with that is living simply. So here's an outline for what we're going to be doing this afternoon. We're going to have a definition of this phrase. What exactly is simple living? It's pretty key that we're all on the same page as far as what we're talking about here. Then I'm going to show you a biblical argument for simple living, which I think is very strong. I've put a ton of scripture in your paper we're not even going to go over. You've got a lot of pages there. I'm going to skip most of that just because we don't have time just to hit every passage, but we're going to hit a bunch of them. I underlined the ones that I want to go through, even some of those I think I cut out. And then finally, when we're good and convicted by the Bible about this topic, about wanting to live simply, then we'll start to hit up what is some specific application for teenagers. What could you go out and do starting today because you want to live more simply? All right, so that's our outline. I'll pray for us and we'll jump into our definition. Lord, thank you that we get this conference. Thank you that we've got a few days here just to kind of separate ourselves from the rest of our busy lives and be able to consider some truths that you want us to understand. Thank you for the teaching so far. We pray for this workshop here. I pray for perseverance for everybody in this room to be able to stay focused. Even as this is later in the day, I pray for people to be able to hear from you. Give us each something we can walk away from with this, Lord, some new kind of insight or a practical step, whatever it may be. Help us to be faithful to listen to you if you're going to speak to us here today. Amen. All right, so here's our definition. Definition of simple living: contentment with worries of the world, to be free to strive for spiritual progress. All right? Key word in this definition is free. So if we can become content with these worries of the world, and I'll describe what those are in a minute here, but if we can be content in those areas, then we have the freedom now to be able to really work hard and push ourselves for our own spiritual progress. Whereas if we're discontent in those areas, in other words, if I want to increase or grow in these worries of the world areas, then all of my resources are going to be so wrapped up in those that I'm going to have nothing left to give for my spiritual growth, and I will be content, and I'm saying this in a bad way, I'll be satisfied with where I'm at spiritually. Okay? So that is our definition there. The resources that we have, what I'm talking about here, primarily, I got four things in mind: our time, our money, our energy, and our emotions. Right? Our time, our money, our energy, and our emotions. If they're so wrapped up in the worries of the world, we will not be free to be able to push ourselves forward spiritually. All right, so let's talk about these worries of the world then. What do I have in mind here? Okay, how about an area like my phone? Am I content? Am I limiting myself in how much and in what ways I'm using my cell phone so that all my resources aren't going into that and I'm freed up to now actually worry about and strive forward spiritually? What about my clothing, my wardrobe? Am I content right now with what I have as far as my clothing? Do I feel like that's an area that takes up so much of my thought life, my energy, my emotions are so wrapped up in that I can't push forward spiritually? How about my body? My physical appearance? How much of my time do I spend thinking about that? How much money do I put into that? How much effort do I put into shaping and molding my body to be exactly what I think it should be, to where I'm losing the ability to push forward spiritually? Or am I content with how I look physically so I can live simply in that area and therefore push myself spiritually? video games? Am I pushing and excelling and setting new goals and fighting to get awesome at video games, so therefore I've got nothing left of my personal resources, my time, money, energy, emotions to grow spiritually? Academic prowess. Maybe some of you guys are sitting in this room and listening to the first four of these saying, ha ha, not me. I'm totally fine in all those areas. And yet, how much of your mental energy do you exude trying to get that perfect GPA, earn that scholarship, get valedictorian, and that's just on your mind most of the time, to where, therefore, you're not striving spiritually, you're not moving forward spiritually. Or sports, right? Huge one. Which takes a ton of time, a ton of energy, a ton of our life is put into that. So, there could be others as well, but I guess what I'm asking you guys to do is for this workshop, I'm guessing at least one of these or something else should be on your mind. I would hope at least you'd recognize at least one of these as something that has the possibility, if it's not already, to take your resources. So that now you're overly spending your time, money, energy, emotions into one of these areas, and therefore you're not free to strive, fight, push forward, set spiritual goals. All right? For me, it's always been sports. This has been mine throughout my life. Now it's much more about watching sports. When I was a little bit younger, it's probably more about playing sports. When I was in high school, I was a pole vaulter. You guys know pole vaulting in here? Here's a picture of me in high school there, clearing the bar. My school record was 13 feet 10 inches. By the end of my sophomore year, I got 13 feet 6 inches. So we're talking, you know, I'm that close to the school record. Over the next 2 years, I can't tell you how much time, how much of my emotions, even how much of my money going to pole vaulting camps. Did you even know there was such a thing? I really was striving, working hard, putting my resources into getting that record. There were times when I was the only person left in a meet and they said you can put the bar wherever you want. I put it at 13 feet 10 and a half inches just to get my name on that plaque in the locker room, right? School record holder at Lexington High School in Mansfield, Ohio. You know, fame, notoriety. I never reached it. I never got it. And at the time, you know, I poured a lot of my life into that. I was not living simply. I was fighting for that area, and looking back now, 20 years later, it's kind of hilarious. Who cares? The record probably would have been broken the next year by somebody else. None of you guys would have ever known this. It was a waste. I strived in that area, and therefore I missed out on a lot of the spiritual gain that I could have had. That's not the only thing. I also really did not live simply in terms of my car. Some of you guys might have cars. You soup up those cars, right? You put a lot of time into thinking how you're gonna make your car awesome. Put a lot of money into that. Here's my car in high school. I put a lot of time into that car. Look at that thing. Put a lot of money into that. And it was pretty hot. But again, that's where I was wrapped up in that. Here's the roof. I had a sunroof on it, as you can see. So, classy. But that was my life. That's what I was living for. That's where my resources were going as a Christian believer in high school. And I got so wrapped up in those things that I wasn't living simply in the definition that we have here. I was not living simply. And therefore, I missed out on a lot of the areas I could have striven in spiritually. So let's talk about what those are then. What are areas that you could strive for spiritual progress? How about your knowledge of the Bible? Where are you at in that area right now? Are you content? Well, I go to a couple Bible studies a week, you know. I'm getting spiritually mentored by a person. So yeah, I'm all right. Why? Why are you content in that area? And yet you're discontent in how much weight you've lost over the last 6 months. Prayer life. Who would be able to sit here right now and be like, yeah, my prayer life's about as good as I think it could possibly be? Man, you're ahead of me. What about evangelism? Are you at a place right now where you're like, I have figured out exactly how to present the gospel in the most appealing, convincing way. I have boldly shared this with as many people as I can think of. I'm content. I doubt it. Leadership, you're looking around, your church that you're a part of. How much is your mind, you're unsatisfied with your role in your church right now and the way you're impacting other people. I hope that that's an area of discontent, non-satisfaction, so you can strive there. Apologetics. Man, again, this is an area that's unlimited. I can't imagine anyone ever being content with how much they understand defense for the Christian faith and how to present that accurately. There's always room to grow here. So, this is what we're working with here. And like I'm pointing out, I think you're getting it at this point. It's kind of one or the other. You really can't go for both. Jesus explains this exact point. No servant can serve two masters. You can't say, well, I need to get that certain GPA, and I'm going to put a lot of effort and energy into that, but I'm also going to be a strong Christian believer. You're picking where you're putting your resources. Your resources are limited. And which are you going to choose? Jesus says either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and you can put whatever you want in that, any one of these. You can't serve God and your body. You can't serve God and your wardrobe. You can't serve God and your phone and your video games. You're going to choose one. You're picking one over the other at that point. Okay, so we got a good definition there now. You understand we're working with simple living? A lot of people just look at money in terms of simple living. But that's not the case. The point is your resources are freed up so you can focus more on the things of God. Let's look at the biblical argument then. Like I said, I feel like I've had to cut a lot out. You guys have a ton more verses, and we'll just go over a few here for both of these categories. So first off, the Bible is very clear that we should be content with these worries of the world, these material things. We should be content here. And so let's look through these and again, try to get your mind off of, man, it'd be really good if so-and-so heard this. And I hope this guy's paying attention. Instead, let the Word of God convict you so that you're ready when we get into the application. That's how it's supposed to be, right? The Word of God convicts you first, and then what do I do? Not just, all right, give me what to do. Let the Bible like bring some authority into your life here, all right? 1 Timothy 6. This is a whole chapter on getting rich and having that as your motive in life. He says, godliness actually is a means of great gain. Your life will be benefited a lot from godliness, spiritual growth. He says, when accompanied by contentment. So godliness is great. Where you're trying to be like God, where you're trying to grow, when it's accompanied by contentment. And then he gives a little bit of logic here, right? For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. So this is a little bit of the logic of it. He's getting at why we can be content. And that's an important question to answer as we go through this morning. Why can I be content with my material provisions? How is it that I can be content? Because I didn't bring any of this world into this world, I'm not bringing anything out, therefore I can be content. It sounds a lot like the end of Job 1, where everything is taken away from Job. What does he say? He says, naked I came into this world, naked I will return, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's a good mindset to have. None of this stuff is coming with me. When we say worries of the world, it's because that's all it is. It's of this world. And then it perishes. That whole list of things we had, sports, academics, your body, clothing, none of those are inherently bad or sinful or wrong. Those are just worries of the world. Those are gone in the next life. You're going to stand before God without any of those. So that's why godliness is what we strive after, accompanied by contentment. Philippians 4, not that I speak from want. What he really means here is from any lack or from any need. He says, I don't have any need. Why? Because I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. Isn't that a cool way of thinking about it? If you can get to simple living, you've learned the secret that everyone else in the world's trying to get to. You've learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry, of both of having abundance and suffering need. That's what we want, right? Contentment. Now, to me, the most impressive parts of this are the kind of the positive ones. I know how to be content even in prosperity. Because that's when it gets difficult, right? When we start to actually make some money, we start to make some progress in one of those worries of the world, then our greed sets in. We want more, we want more, we want more. Can you find contentment even in prosperity, even in abundance? And then we all know what verse comes next, right? Philippians 4:13. It's a memory verse for a lot of us. What is that? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If you're like me, you probably thought, oh, that verse comes when you're trying to do, you know, you're trying to share your faith. You're trying to take some radical, miraculous step of faith. What's the content? The context? It's in being content. So in other words, it's not going to be easy or natural to do this. This is difficult to be content, but you can do it through Christ who strengthens you. He wants to bring you to a level of contentment in these areas here. 1 Peter 3, this is for the women. Guys, you can take a little break here. He says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, and putting on dresses. Now, hold on a minute. He says, merely. So there's nothing wrong with getting dressed up, doing the hair up nice, putting on some jewelry. Nothing wrong with that. He says, merely. In other words, if that is your whole purpose, if that is all of what's giving you your fulfillment, is I have to look this way, I have to appear to others in a certain way, then I'm in the wrong. He says, don't let it be merely that, but instead what? But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. A gentle and quiet spirit. Does that describe your life? Think about in the midst of your sports season, when you're going to school, going to practice, going to this, going to bed, would you call your life gentle and quiet? You'd call it crazy and hectic, wouldn't you? It's quite the opposite of this. But this is what is, and what is this? This is precious in the sight of God. He would rather us. Just kind of that sigh of relief. I'm just gentle and quiet before God, and I can focus on Him, push myself in spiritual areas, but I don't need to be so obsessed with what I'm wearing, with how my hair looks, with my jewelry. Those are worries of the world. None of that's coming with me. And again, what's the point? Imperishable. Those things will all perish. We're not bringing that with us to the next life. But our gentle and quiet spirit, that relationship we foster with God, that is going on to the next life. So that's where it makes sense. That's how we can get this mindset. Mark 4, this is the parable of the sower and the soils. He said, some were those that fell among the thorns, and these are the ones who have heard the word. And then we get our title here, right? This is where we get our title. But the worries of the world. Notice what he associates with worries of the world. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. That's that whole category we had. That's what worries of the world are. And what do? Those things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So here's the problem. You're like, well, I've just got this other hobby and I'm excited about it. I put a lot of my energy and life into it. Well, what does that end up doing? Well, it can choke out the word and you're going to become unfruitful. You want to be fruitful. You want to produce fruit. You want to grow spiritually, help others grow spiritually, but you can't when your worries, when your focus is on the worries of the world. That's the Bible's argument here is strong about being content with worries of the world. Hebrews 13:5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Is your character free from the love of money? He says, being content with what you have. So that's our whole thesis, right? Be content with what you right now have. You don't need more of these worries of the world. Now, I've been saying we need to answer how can we have that mindset. And I think this is, if you're going to remember one verse, it's the end of this verse. This is how you can be content with what you have. For he himself said, has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Because when we're so focused on worries of the world, really it's an insecurity. You saw a picture of my car. I was insecure. Right? I was not happy with who I was, and I needed to act a certain way. I needed to look a certain way so people would think of me a certain way. So in other words, if I could have just believed and cling to this end of this verse, that really all that matters is that God will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me, I could have saved myself a lot of the worries of the world. Like I said, I was super insecure. One of the things that I did in high school, I used to do these fake falls in the cafeteria. So you'd get your lunch, and you'd pretend to trip, and you'd throw your tray, you know, and all your friends are like cheering for you. You actually did it. That was like what I did. The best was on tomato soup day. And you'd, you know, that way you'd do the slip, and you just kind of heave it up in the air. But that's insecurity. I'm just hoping people will think of me a certain way. I get a certain reaction from people. I didn't believe this. I didn't cling to this. That God will never leave me, he will never forsake me. And so I wasn't content with what I had. I wasn't content. But if at your age you could begin to get that mindset, I'm content with what I have right now, man, you can actually start to push really, really hard in the spiritual areas. So that's contentment with worries of the world, right? The Bible's clear. We got to be content there. The Bible's also clear that we should be discontent with our spiritual progress. You should not be satisfied with where you're at spiritually right now. You should have a longing and a desire and itch to get stronger in your walk with God. Now, one quick exception or a caveat here, and this is important, other than my position in Christ. So when I'm saying you should be discontent with where you're at spiritually, I don't mean you should be going to God in fear. Does he accept me? Is he mad at me? Because when you're trying to fight and push forward for spiritual progress, a lot of times that sneaks in. I really want to learn my Bible better, and I failed this week. I didn't read my Bible. God's mad at me. I got to read it stronger. No. In fact, unless I have a full 100% contentment in my position in Christ, that he loves me, that he saved me, that I have eternal life, I'm his child, unless I really believe that, then I won't have the security contentment to actually take risks in my spiritual progress. If unless I'm content in my position in Christ, I probably won't take that scary step of faith and share my faith with somebody. Because what if I fail? But if I can be fully content here, then I can push myself in spiritual progress. Romans 5, it's a good verse if you need to remember that you can be content here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, I'm made right with God by my belief, right? So therefore I have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a verse we've got to remember when we're striving ahead spiritually, that first and foremost, I can be content there. Okay? So then let's look at these passages, though. You remember Philippians 4? We looked at this earlier. Not that I speak from want. What is he talking about there? Having an abundance, being hungry. He says, no matter what, I can be content, right? That's material things. I can be content with material things. In the same book, earlier on, the same section of the book, the previous chapter, look at this language, quite the opposite. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. He says, but I press on. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm pressing on so I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He's talking here about knowing Christ. He is not satisfied with how well he knows Christ yet. He's going to press on. He wants more. He's probably setting goals. He's spending time thinking about this. He's pushing forward. He says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward. Some translations say straining ahead. He's straining to go forward in his relationship with Christ. I press on toward the goal. He's got a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's our attitude in spiritual progress. Unsatisfied with where we are right now. I want more. I want to push. Romans 15:30 says, I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers for God, or to God for me. Striving in prayer. This is the word strive. It's agonizomai in the Greek. It's to agonize, right? We're agonizing in our prayer. You're sitting here today like, man, I don't know why. I've just never been that good at praying. It's too difficult for me, so I just don't do it very much. Did anybody ever say prayer was easy? Prayer is a work. It's hard. You put all that time into your pole vaulting or whatever it is for you, right? All that time into conquering that next level of your video game. Well, what if you thought about your prayer life that way? Like, I've got specific goals I want to see in my prayer life, and I'm going to agonize to get there. That is a good mindset for simple living. Notice also, he says, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. In other words, we've got this tension here where we're supposed to try really hard, work really hard by the power of God. You ever seen passages like that? Here's another one, the same idea. He says, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. I labored even more than all of them. I worked my butt off. Not I, but the grace of God within me. It's this tension of working really hard by the power of God. What does that even mean? How do you do that? How do you combine those? What I think that means, my working really hard is disciplining myself enough to put myself in a position where then I can rely on God's help. For instance, let me give an example. Like, okay, I really want to improve my time in the Word. So every day I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to read the Bible. That's hard work. That's discipline. I'm fighting to do that. But then when I sit down to do that, what am I doing? With God, without you, I can do nothing. If I'm going to understand one word in this paragraph and be able to use it in someone else's life or my own life, that's from you. So I'm depending on God there. I'm thanking God after I finish. And I'm acknowledging God when someone's like, wow, you get up early and read the Word now. By the power of God alone, right? So I think that's what that means, that I'm working hard. There's a part of it where I'm disciplining myself to put myself there and then depending on God to give me anything that I've got. But again, this is the theme most of the time when we see these passages about working hard. You work hard for spiritual progress, depending on God. Look at this one. This is in the context of discipleship. Paul says in the verse before this, I'm going to present every man complete in Christ. I want to finish the job in my work with people. And he says, for this purpose I labor. We got that striving again, right? Agonizomai. I'm striving according to his power. Isn't that cool? I'm working hard, I'm striving according to God's power, which mightily works within me. That's that tension. So it's not like when you're working hard for spiritual progress, now that you've simplified your life, you've limited some things, now you're ready for spiritual progress. It's not like it's all on you and your strength. It's simply putting yourself in a place where you can trust in God to empower you to work hard. Same thing here in Philippians 2. Work out your salvation. This isn't your salvation as in your justification, the moment you believe. This is your spiritual growth. He says, work that out with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. That's like how you feel when you're about to get the baton for the last leg of your 4x4, right? You're about to take that last shot. There's fear and trembling. Why? There's a lot on the line here. If I make the shot, we win. If I miss it, we lose. There's a lot on the line. I'm scared. Do you feel that way about your spiritual growth? Fear and trembling. There's a lot on the line. If I don't learn this scripture, if I don't learn how to share my faith, if I don't grow in my prayer, if I don't get to this level, there should be fear and trembling, right? I'm working on this because it's important. But again, how are you working this out? By your strength? No, look. For it is God who is at work within you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. So he's doing it ultimately. You're just putting yourself in a place where you can get there, where you can trust in Him to take you. But that's hard work. It's hard work, and you got to fight for it. So, that's our scriptural argument there. Now, let's think about our backward situation then, right? The Bible says we should be content with worries of the world. So I didn't make varsity this year. Oh well, maybe next year. Not a big deal. I got a B+ on my exam. Okay, not that heartbreak, right? That's what the Bible's teaching. The Bible's also teaching we should be discontent with our spiritual progress. Man, I just don't understand what this verse means. I'm not going to rest till I do. I need to go get a commentary. I got to go ask some people. I'm going to read this again. I got to figure out what that means, right? That's what the Bible's saying. But what do? We do completely the opposite, right? Isn't it an awkward question? I try to use this sometimes in my church, and it doesn't go that well. Most of them say, so how are you doing spiritually? I don't know. Fine, I guess, right? Whatever. What's new? What are you learning new from God? I don't know. You know, I go to a couple Bible studies a week. I don't know, not much. Just totally content with where we're at spiritually. Just totally satisfied. No longing for more. And then we get you on your favorite subject of those worries of the world, and you can talk for 20 minutes about what the next move is, where you're going to be next year. Oh, you know, I'm going to get this GPA, this scholarship, I'm going to this school, this major, get this job, have this house, right? And we've got it all mapped out. We've made all these goals, we're working hard. So we totally reverse what the Bible's calling us to do. And so that's where I thought maybe we could even have a little discussion here. I got some ideas myself, and I'll show you in a minute. But why do you guys think we mess this up? Why is it that we reverse these completely, where our focus is on the worries of the world, and we're discontent there, and we're totally content with our walk? Yeah. Okay. Right. Right. Good point. You can easily justify a lot of these areas. Well, I just want to be comfortable so I can serve the Lord more. So for the next 10 years, I got to put in 60 hours a week on these things. And you're kind of messing up the whole point there. That's good. Good point. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know your parents, but I know my parents. A lot of parents, even my Christian-believing parents, weren't in line with what I would consider simple living according to the Bible, and can push us in these areas, as well as, of course, friends. Yeah. Right, right, right. It goes back to our natural self of not getting that security from God, meeting from other people. That's a good point. Yeah. Yep. Right. 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 That's a good point. All right, these are all great. I'll give you a couple of mine now. You can share some more at the end if you want. First of all, I think it's not as scintillating nor as instant of results, right? If I can lower my mile time by 5 seconds in the next month, that's a goal, it's objective, I achieved it, feel good, right? If I can improve my prayer life, I don't even know what that's going to look like, right? It's not scintillating, and it's not as obvious or instant. So I think there's a problem with that. But with this, we know that the long-term results are completely the opposite, where if I really do put in the time, and even if I can't notice the exact change in my prayer life, a year from now, I can look back and say, man, those steps that I took, that little bit of extra effort, that mindset, that switch, I see a much stronger prayer life that's benefited me, like that 1 Timothy 6. Godliness is great gain. I've gained so much from putting some discipline into that. I think also there could be a lack of real belief in the spiritual realm. Look, in your community of your church that you're involved with, it is very convenient to believe in God. Right? It'd be pretty weird to be like, I'm not so sure he's there or that he's good. So maybe we never stop and analyze, do I really believe there's a God out there and he rewards those who seek him? And maybe the key for you is you're going to walk away from this workshop or this conference and you're going to take 20 minutes one day and just really battle it out with God and say, I'm having a tough time believing you're there or that you're good. And it's proving itself in the way I spend my time, my money, my energy, my emotions. They're wrapped up in things not of you. That must say something about what I really think of you. It'd be good to at least come to an honest conclusion on that. And then finally, there's a subtlety of what Satan's doing here. You see, most of us in this room, Satan's never going to get hooked on heroin or get us to kill someone. He's just not. But if he can get you here, where the word is being choked out so that you're unfruitful because you're caught up in the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, he's won. And so this is all he's doing, just that subtle distraction. You never thought, you look back, I never would have thought I would have put this much of my thought into my body and going to the gym and making sure I've sculpted it and worked out. And then I look back and I'm like, wow, how did I do that? That's subtlety. That's how Satan works best. And it's good to acknowledge that. So that's what's going on. That's our backward situation. So let's move on to the practical then. So we've got our definition. We know what we're talking about here. Simple living, being content with the worries of the world so we can be free to strive for spiritual progress. We know the Bible makes it very clear that this is exactly what God has for us. Let's think of some application here, specifically for teenagers. Now, I just want to hit two key words for application, and that's it. Two words here. Limit and replace. Limit and replace. Limit is where we have to start here, because if we think, I'm just going to walk out of here and drop out of school, never do a sport again, never go to the gym again, it's foolish. You're thinking of it wrong. These are good things when they can be used correctly, and you're never going to make it anyway. So instead of eliminate, how about limit? Same root word. You can get there, right? Limit these worries of the world. And here's our key verse on limiting. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. He says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So this is a passage here in Ephesians 5. He's not talking about discrediting sin. What's he talking about? Wisdom and foolishness. Just like we said, none of those things on the worries of the world chart were evil, wrong. It's a question of wisdom. And what does he say about wisdom? Two things. One, be careful how you live. In other words, stop and question culture. So you see culture going in a certain direction. The wise person takes a step back, observes and questions it. You are not just a domino that is getting knocked over in line with the rest. You are not that little duckling crossing the road following the mother duck, right? You can actually step back and look and say, is this what I want to define my life? That's the first place to start. Stop and look. How is culture going and do I agree with it? And then second, show intentionality. He says, make the most of your time. So the question is, in whatever of those areas that you've got for your worry of the world, are you showing any intentionality? Are you thinking at all about how, okay, I probably should be careful here. I'm only going to put this much amount of time, money, energy, emotion into this. Is that even on your radar? Because I think if you can get there in that worry of the world, you can at least get there. You're going to be way ahead, and you're going to see real chance at spiritual progress too. So I'm just going to look at two areas here to think about. And the first one is the phone. Let's think about the phone in terms of simple living. Now, in the 1980s, here's what hanging out looked like. You got gray hair, you got Pepsi, and you got chatting, right? That's hanging out. Here's what hanging out looks like now. Let's just chat up with other people while we're sitting around on the phone together. I was talking to a girl that's in my home church who's just out of high school about this teaching, because I'm asking her some advice and stuff about cell phones. And we were at a 4th of July barbecue. And we were sitting in this big circle and we're chatting. And we both looked at the same time and started laughing because there were 10 of us in a circle. 6 of the people were on their phones by themselves. At a 4th of July picnic, like that's where you go to talk to people, right? You can use your phone anywhere. And it just brought that reality to mind that most people, again, are you taking a step away and observing and questioning? You don't have to do the opposite of culture necessarily, but have you ever looked at it and questioned it? Here's what boys used to do, right? You used to play football. Now here's what boys do. They take selfies. That's a big change. And I think we know, but I'm going to show some stats anyway, the direction culture is going here, which the wise person can take a step outside and question. Here's for teenagers, the hours per day on the average favorite app. Tumblr, YouTube, that's your favorite app, on average you spend about 4 hours a day on that. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, you're a little lower. Congratulations, only a little under 3 hours a day on those. Here's the number of messages exchanged per month for males and females, average, and then by age group. That's the one we should really hit in on. Now, 34-17, really that's only 114 messages a day, if you think about that. That's a lot! That's a lot of messages to exchange per day. This is a direction of culture. Do you want this to define you? Today's teens spend more than 7.5 hours a day consuming media. That includes TV, music, web, networking, playing video games. That's a direction culture is going. Is that what you want to define your life? If not, take a step back and say, okay, I'm going to limit. I'm going to find a way to limit this. So that's one area. The other area to think about is our guap. Your money, right? That's a modern term for money that I have learned because I'm cool. You guys know this guy. It's cash money, right? Let's think about that area as well. So we're thinking about the phone, we're thinking about our guap. Here's how teens spend their money. This is well documented. Food and clothing. Now, you know what's really ironic about this? Almost 50% is food and clothing. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Don't worry about what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. Those are the only two things he brings up. He says, God's going to take care of you. That's one of the passages on your sheet. I didn't have time to go over it. Luke 12, it's one of the best passages on simple living. If God feeds the ravens, if he takes care of the lilies, don't you think how much more valuable are you than a bird, he says. Why are we spending so much of our money on this? Now again, what does the wise person do? It's not like, oh, therefore, I'm never going to go out to eat. No. You take a step back. You observe. You say, okay, I don't want that to define me. I'm going to limit. I'm going to show some intentionality. What that means, we'll get to in a minute. But some intentionality. I'm going to think and I'm going to act. Here's the video game industry. I would have thought the video game industry was huge in 2007, and it was, really, over $40 billion. That's a big industry, right? I grew up on video games. They were different. Played a Nintendo. It's not quite as addicting, maybe, but still you put time into it. By 2016, it's going to be twice the industry. This is where culture's going. Mostly in what? Online and mobile, the two middle ones. Those are what's increasing so much. And so that's our money, that's our guap, but that's also what? Our time, right? Are you being intentional? Are you limiting? Are you thinking? Are you acting wisely here? So that's what limiting is. Being careful how you live, making the most of your time. And so now, let's talk about, and again, I'd love to hear from you guys here, what are some possible goals for teenagers in limiting these worries of the world, whatever they may be? I've got a whole list of them, but I'm not a teen. So let's hear. Yeah. Balancing a checkbook. That's a better way of putting it, because I bet most people here don't use a checkbook, but right. Knowing how you're spending your money, right? Here's what I need, here's what I want, I'm allowing myself to use this much of what I want, and I'm going to limit myself in this. You're right. Excellent. Yeah. Right. There's good apps for that. There's also a good app for, I can't remember what the app's called. I'm only going to be on Facebook for 20 minutes today. Enter. And then it will literally shut you down after 20 minutes. What's that called? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I can't remember. Or it can be like, you can set it to all different kinds of cool settings. It's like, for the next hour, I can only use this website. That way, you know, I'm not going to be stuck on YouTube when I'm trying to do homework or whatever I'm doing, right? That's really helpful. I actually had it as one of my points, and I took it off because I was like, I got to eliminate some stuff here. Foolish. All right, Becca. That's good. It's kind of similar, right? Point. You're observing, you're thinking, right? How am I spending my time? And now I'm going to go back and analyze that. That's so much of what it is. You're not a drone. You're not a robot. You are not, like I said, a domino. You have choice. And that's what separates you from the world. You can look and observe and choose. And that's what simple living is all about. Excellent. Any other points, any other practical goals you could think of? Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Now that is really good, and I'm going to say that's going to come up when we talk about the next one, right? Limit and replace. So that's great. I'll come back to that. That's a replace there. Okay, here's my list of limiting. Now, again, I must preface, I am not a teenager. This is just my opinion. If you like them, try one or two of these, not all of them. And if you don't, throw it out, right? Who cares? It's just me saying this. Here's some good possibilities in my mind. Don't bring the phone to bed. I think most of the time that people spend on the phone is lying in bed. You go to bed at like 11:30 with the intention of going to bed, but you got a phone in your hand, and you're on that phone until about 1:30 in the morning, and then you go to bed. That's most nights, right? Now you're like, oh, but what if my Aunt Susie breaks her toe, and I need to get a call at 4 in the morning? I don't know. You know, I'm sure she's going to call your mom, too. Or you can maybe put your phone on the desk at the other end of the room, but to be honest, then you're probably going right back for it. I think it's worth trying this. Just leave the phone somewhere else at night, get an alarm clock, or put one on your watch or something like that. Speaking of which, talk about simple living here, right? That's my wife's watch. I lost mine, and I'm like, I'm not about to buy a new watch yet. I'll wear a girly watch. I don't care. And so I'm rocking the girly watch. Because I hate not having a watch. Don't bring the phone to bed. How about having breakfast before screen time? Again, you're laying in bed, you wake up, what's the first thing you do? Roll over, grab the phone, roll back, and you're like, right? Just doing that kind of thing, right? And then 25 minutes goes by, and you didn't even realize it. Might be an easy area to limit. Just say, look, I am going to eat my breakfast. What if you made this habit? I'm going to eat my breakfast every day with the Bible in front of me. And I've got a goal. I want to read, right now I'm reading the Judges. And I'm going to take each judge, I'm going to say, what is it that God wants me to learn about this judge's life? That's just something like intentional again, right? And that's what I do when I eat breakfast. It's not that big of a commitment. It's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm just reading a past scripture, thinking about it. What if you started that habit instead of rolling over and grabbing the phone? Maybe that would be life-changing. Just that. That's it. No screen time before breakfast. How about this one? Remove phone notifications other than call and text. I have been a smartphone user for all of 2 weeks now. I was very slow to the game because I'm trying to live simply. But finally, it actually made more sense financially even to get a smartphone because they're pressuring you to get away from the dumb phones, man. The phone companies hate those. So finally, I got a smartphone. And this is what I've done. I kept getting these notifications. I'm like, go to my apps, all notifications off other than call and text. Why do I need my leg to vibrate every time the Reds score a run? Why every time someone likes my photo that I've posted? Why do I need a notification for that? Just going to make me want to check that. I'll still check it throughout the day, and I'll see then who liked my photo and my ESPN app and all that, right? It's just a simple idea. I talked about this with two teens, and they were both like, whoa, I've never even thought of doing that. And I was like, are you going to do it? And they're like, no. Like, that sounds like a really good idea. I'm not going to do it. Because they're addicted to their phone, right? This is what I've done so far. It's worked pretty well. I'm not on my phone as much as I could be, I guess. How about leaving your phone at home on meeting nights? I'm going to a Bible study. I'm going to a meeting. And I'm going to leave my phone at home. Try it once. You're going to feel naked. You're going to be walking in like, you know, like, it's just going to feel weird not to have a phone on you. But try it. And I know your objection. What if my parents need to get a hold of me and it's an emergency? Give them your leader's phone number. They'll call him or her. Problem solved, right? You're around that person most at night. You can call if there's an emergency the other way. Try it. Just try once. See what it's like. I dare you. Try once. Those awkward moments, you'll actually go and talk to somebody instead of check your phone. Set aside blank amount of money per month for saving and giving, right? You're like, well, I don't have a job. Well, you got an allowance. Well, I don't have an allowance. Well, your parents give you money to go to the movies. So take one of those times you go to the movies and set aside. I don't know what it is for you, but that's a way of being intentional with your money. You're building a habit where money is not the thing. You're not so focused on the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and you're being intentional at a young age on this. Blank minutes of video games per day. Do you have a limit? You know, that we looked at that stat, 7.5 hours, and you're like, fine, I'm only going to do 7 hours of media per day. Ha ha! Hey, that's 30 minutes a day you would have to do other stuff. Wow, that's pretty good, right? 7 hours of video games a day. There's your limit. Not a minute more. I don't know what it would be. It's for you to figure out. And then this one too. I am only going to study this many minutes per day. Some of you are like, no, you need to put hours there. Whatever it is, right? I'm going to limit myself. Once that 2 hour limit hit, I'm done. I've got to go do something else because this is not my life and I'm not going to be consumed by this. And you're like, but I don't know it 100% perfectly. Okay, then you're going to have to get that B+, and you're going to have to live with that. That's okay. You'll keep breathing the next day with a B+. Yes, you'll wake up, right? So those are, again, you might think these are, yeah. You're like, these are just your ideas, maybe, but I don't know. I think they're pretty good. I skipped one, didn't I? I knew I skipped one. The most controversial of all. Let's go back to this. Oh, man. Just a suggestion. You're like, but I need to get scholarships. You're really going to get scholarships for college for more than one sport? Congratulations, Bo Jackson. You know, it's like, wow. You got one sport good at, maybe that's what you focus on, and then you just kind of rec league backyard football with the buddies on Saturday afternoon or something. I don't know. But again, if I'm putting so much, a sport, a high school sport, oh man, that takes your life. And if you're doing wrestling and football and baseball and basketball every year, and you're just totally consumed from time school ends to about 8 p.m. daily, what is that perishable or imperishable? It's perishable. You're not taking that with you to the next life. And yet that's going to take quite a bit of your time and your energy, of course. Might be worth considering. I'm going to limit myself to one sport a year. Consider it. All right, so now, replace, finally here, 1 Timothy 6, that passage we read earlier on getting rich. He says, be content. Godliness, it's great gain with contentment. What you took out of the world, you'll take in, right? That whole chapter, great chapter on this topic. And he says, this is so insightful here. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. And that's kind of what we're talking about, right? You're putting your hope in this worry of the world, whatever it is. He says, but instead put your hope in God. And now here's the cool part. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That's the replace. If it's God providing it, what does that mean? It means it's free. God gives us free things, and those are the things that are going to bring us the most enjoyment. You've heard the phrase, the best things in life are free. I think people really do believe that in their heart, and then they live contrary to that. Even non-Christians believe that. The best things in life are family and friends and things like that, and then they live contrary. Take our boy Johnny Manziel, for instance. You guys remember him? He's that guy right there. Cleveland Browns quarterback, pride and joy of Ohio. Rookie year, what did he do? He partied. You couldn't go a weekend without seeing him on people.com for, not that I check people.com, my wife does. He's partying every weekend with different celebrities that whole rookie year. The opposite of simple living by the furthest, you know, mark is complete opposite of simple living. And what did that end up bringing in? He got him into rehab. Got him into a terrible football season. And so he got out of rehab, and this is the only interview he's done so far that I know of. Check this out. He says, I think I've done a good job throughout this offseason of really trying to get back to my roots and who I am as a person. He says, I got back to doing some things that I grew up doing that I really enjoy that are quiet. Wow. That occupy my time in a better way other than traveling or anything of that sort, aka partying, right? Quiet things. The guy's from Texas. What do you think he has in mind there? He's going fishing? Going hiking? Right? Reading some books? Who knows? It looks like he's a believer. He's got Philippians on his little wristband there. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's quieting his life. And that's what we're talking about. He had the party life. He had the crazy life. And he's like, I need to simplify. I need to quiet down my life. And that's going to bring what I really enjoy. He's affirming exactly what the Bible says. I don't know how much we can trust him. He also said the money sign will definitely not be back. Come on now. That's like your calling card. But he's simplifying his life anyway, right? Practical ideas here. And this is our last little part here. Number one, spend time with others. So all that time, most of those worries of the world, what can you do? You accomplish a lot of that on your own, don't you? Individually, by yourself, it's where that happens. Where does most of our joy come from? Spending time with others. Yeah. Right, do you believe that? If you would look back on the last year of your life, what are your 10 best memories? How many of them would be by yourself? I doubt any of them, right? Would it be like my third best memory was that day I was just scrolling on my phone. Whoa, I saw that video. No, it's not a memory. It's a time waster. Our best times are spent with other people. We know this. let's put ourselves in a place where, okay, since I'm going to limit, here's my replacement. You can't just limit without replacement. We know that. You can't just set the phone on the table. I'm going to stare at the wall for a half hour, right? You're going to pick up that phone in 10 seconds. But if I can replace it with, okay, therefore I'll spend time with friends, just going to be around other people, that's going to be an excellent idea for replacement. Reading books. A simpler, getting us much closer to the goals of spiritual progress, reading books. Here's one real specific application for it, okay? Always have a book that you're reading. Even if it's going to take you 4 years to read, right? You read a page every 2 months. At least you got a book. Because then in those 15 minutes of downtime, instead of going to the phone, you might actually go to the book. Just always have a book sitting around. Reason we don't read a lot of times, I don't know what to read. Get a book, that's now what you're reading, and just read it. If you get sick of it, it's not your master, find another book, right? But I have a book that you're reading, and then you might actually read. That's a good idea. That's intentional, right? Enjoy nature. Get outside, enjoy what God has. Look at these pictures here. Isn't that beautiful? Spending time around something like that. Doesn't that bring, isn't that what 1 Timothy 6:17 is talking about? God richly provides us everything for enjoyment. Look at that. Beauty. You're like, well, I live in Columbus, Ohio. We don't really have nature. Where do you think these pictures are from? Columbus, Ohio. This is Glen Echo. This is where I used to live. I used to walk down here every day with my kids. Beautiful. This is where I asked my wife to marry me. That's right. Griggs Nature Preserve, she got it right. Hayden Run. Beautiful. Get out in nature. And hey, when you get out in nature, look. Here's my next point. Prayer walks. You're like, I just can't seem to pray. I'm sitting in my room with my computer, phone, and TV, and for some reason I can't pray. Put all that down and start walking. Go walk around your block if you don't want to go nature hiking. Go walk around and leave everything at home and just start talking to God. I like to do it out loud because then it's less distracting for me. Get in the car, drive somewhere, and just talk to God. You're like, well, if I'm walking around talking to God, people are going to see me. They're going to think I'm weird. No, they're just going to think you're singing or something. Who cares? Just try it. Go for a walk around your block and talk to God for 5 minutes. There's a replacement. That's how you start to increase your prayer life right there. Subscribe to a podcast. You want to use that phone? Here's a good way to use that phone. Again, I've only had a smartphone for 2 weeks, but I've got a couple different podcasts I listen to already. They're awesome. That's like you can find a lot. Like I listen to William Lane Craig and Ben Stewart. Those are the two I've found so far. If you got better suggests for me, please send them my way. But you can find like a 20-minute or 30-minute teaching. It's edifying, gives you some things to think about, and then you move on. You know, that's a good way. You're gonna listen to your headphones on the way to school? Why not that? That's pretty good. That's a good replacement. Set Bible reading or memorizing goals. This is what the girl up here had said, right? That's my replacement. I'm gonna set some goals here. I'm gonna be intentional. And I guess this leads to my conclusion, okay? So where do you, in 10 years from now, if you're a teen in this room, 10 years from now you'll be 13, you'll be 23 to 29, right? Somewhere in that range. What do you want your life to be defined by? What do you want to be known as when you're that age? That you are the best video game player there is in your group. That you have got the nicest, newest phone, amazing new tennis shoes, people can't keep up. Nobody wants to be known for that. What do you want to be known for? I bet it's for what you look up to people in your life right now. The spiritual mentors in your life, yeah. The ones that know the Word of God well because they put the hard work in. The ones that are well-read. The ones that other people come to for advice because they've learned how people think and work and have just spent so much time helping others. Well, if you want that to be your life, then you've got to start going toward our definition here. You've just got to get content with where you're at with the worries of the world. Yeah, enjoy your sports, enjoy your phone, but be content with where you're at with those. Limit your usage of those so that you can strive for spiritual progress. And then you do that by limiting and replacing. All right, that's it. That's Simple Living for Teens. Now you got it. We got about 10 minutes left before dinner time. If anybody's got a question or comment they want to throw out there. Yeah, right here.
All right, so as we were talking about like simple living, especially with your time and your emotions and money and stuff, I tend to be a busy guy myself. Now, when it comes to a busy schedule and simple living, you give the example of like, oh, I'm busy with sports until like 8 o'clock.
Right.
In that case, for me, I do a lot of ministry things throughout the week.
Right. Well, it's the kind of things I'm talking about replacing, right? We're in the Word, we're around people, we are using spiritual gifts, we're learning how to pray, we're learning how to help others. So that is the right replacement, is being busy among those type of things. But there's a degree even there to where, look, if I'm so busy that I'm just worn out, and I got my lifestyle is described as hectic and crazy, I wonder, can I limit somewhere? Now, I'd be quicker to limit in the any area other than being involved in fellowship. I'd be quicker to limiting any of those areas before I limited that, because that's the good stuff. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, so that's my thought there.
When you were talking about working out our salvation with fear and trembling, and how we fear and we tremble because we recognize that there's a lot on the line, there's a lot at stake.
Right.
And so what's at stake here is people's eternal salvation.
Right.
I think one of my worries that I worried about in high school, or I still worry about now, is like other people's view of me and mm-hmm. how they're viewing me, whether I'm spiritual enough is like what it is now, right? Like, am I as righteous as I think I should be? But what's that? And I spend a lot of time focused on that. And in reality, like, that goes into my work environment, that goes into my home environment with my roommates. And I'm spending so much time focused on that what I'm not thinking about is the lost souls out in Columbus, Ohio that
right.
I'm reaching and sharing the gospel with.
Great.
Despite how much, like, what they think of me. And so I think that when we are not concerned with what's at stake,
yeah.
we struggle with this more.
What's your fear and trembling associated with, right? Is it what people think of me, or is it the fact that there's people out there that don't know the Lord that I'm involved with? That's a good way of putting that. Yeah. Right.
I mean, like, to me, it would seem like if I ask the teens, and I'm a youth pastor, so I don't just hang out with teens. But if I ask,
you look like you're 19 or so.
Right, yeah, thank you. If I ask my middle schoolers, like, hey, don't bring your phones to youth group, I feel like they'd crucify me.
Right.
Like. And that's a problem, but I don't know, like, I know that they're going to say, well, I have to be reachable by my friends.
Yeah. Well, and my point here is more like, is there any area where I'm limiting? I gave some suggestions. Is there any way we're being intentional? If not, I'm going to bring up the Word. I'll let the Word convict. There are ways we ought to be going along with culture. Right? We don't want to stand out as Amish and therefore totally unappealing with the message. And that was one of the fears my wife had. My wife's family's not believing, and we're still sitting around with these dumb phones, and they know we're Christians, and they're starting to associate, oh, since you're a Christian, you can't get these things or something, right? And so that's part of what we do, right? That's why we drive cars, have TVs, do everything, is because we want to be in the world but not of the world. So there is a sense to where we should go along with culture while still being able to step back and limit and observe. And I think that stands out as well. So I don't know what it is for your particular junior high students. Maybe it's not leaving the phone at home, but it could be something else. And the idea is, if you can begin now to take some steps at this, you're going to be so ahead of the game. And if not, you're probably going to be so caught up in the worries of the world 10 years from now, that's what's going to define you. Yeah?
I actually have an idea for you. For my college ministry, we had like a problem during prayer group where everyone was just doing their own while other people were praying. So we would have like a bucket that you call the rose in. Like for during the teaching or something, for you.
That's great. Toss them in. Get a couple of the key students to do it first so that they, you know, lead in the way, and their kids are like, oh, I guess we're supposed to do this, right? We did that once, and some guy admitted to me that he checked his pocket 30 times because he kept feeling like, oh my gosh, where's my phone? 30 times that night. That's a problem, okay? That's an addiction. That's not good. It's not healthy. Yeah. Wow. That's addressing the issue pretty hardcore. Very good. Sure. Here.
I like your ideas of instead of just like taking out these things in your life, you can use some of these things and replace them, like using a podcast.
Right, right.
Or something like that. So one thing that I do is I would always want to, I work at like 10 o'clock each morning on the weekdays, and I'd want to get up and try to get a worry. But I have a hard time not getting up. 9:40 and I'm leaving 5 minutes later and just go on. You're like, it's not there. I can sleep tomorrow. And so one thing I did is I knew that I enjoyed, like on Thursdays, this new episode comes up. The show I watched, the play was long. And so I would never have problems on Thursdays getting up. I'm great for work before time. So I just did that every day. Maybe I'm wasting 20 minutes at the beginning of my day instead of wasting 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that's worked really well.
It's great.
I was wondering if you had other ideas of like ways that people could use things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think a part of the getting up in the morning is what am I doing with my phone at night, right? If I'm on my phone from 11:30 to 1:30 every night, of course it's going to be tough to get up early in the morning before work and go do my thing. So I'm more onto that side. I don't know. Again, I've been a smartphone user for all of 2 weeks, so I'm not an expert on how to use this to benefit ministry. I don't like using the Bible on my phone. I like to have a hard Bible. First, for people that are around me when I'm at a Bible study, it looks like I'm just on checking whatever. Second, that's what I use that for usually, so it's so tempting not to do that instead of getting into the Word. I got to set it aside. I'm not strong enough. But I don't know. Other people might have better ideas than that. I don't have too many.
Yeah, I'm like, yes, my favorite chair is waiting for me.
All right, well, why don't we cut it off there, guys? Who wants to pray for us? And we'll call it a day. You want to pray for us here? Sure, go ahead, please. Thank you. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.